the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown are with us for the usual weekly look at all things US. And Cal, John Lennon got himself in trouble famously for saying the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. Donald Trump has got himself into trouble for depicting himself in a Jesus-like figure in an AI image.
Well, yeah, here's a guy who can't quote a verse of scripture, including the shortest one in the Bible, which is Jesus wept. Now he's portraying himself as Jesus himself. He claims that, well, no, that wasn't it. He was trying to portray himself as a doctor healing somebody. Nobody believes that. And, of course, he's been attacking Pope Leo, the first American pope as well, which is another major mistake. The pope had some comments about the war in Iran, but what he should have done is either ignored his comments or said, look, we are trying to protect those in the Middle East and around the world from people who claim that their God wants them to build a nuclear weapon and kill Jews and Christians. So we are simply doing a preemptive strike. That would have been a much better approach than attacking the Pope. I mean, the Republicans need the Catholic vote, and Trump got a good percentage of it in the two times he ran for president. But I don't think it's going to help Republicans in the fall election unless he apologizes, which is something he has never done before, as far as I can see.
Let's take a quick listen to what Trump said in his comments in relation to the Pope.
We don't like a Pope that's going to say that it's okay to have a nuclear weapon. We don't want a Pope that says crime is okay in our cities. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo. He's a very liberal person, and he's a man that doesn't believe in stopping crime.
And we'll go straight to what the Pope had to say in response.
I do not look at my role as being political, politician. I don't want to get into a debate with him. I don't think that the message of the gospel is meant to be abused in the way that some people are doing. We'll continue to speak out loud against war, looking to promote peace, promoting dialogue and multilateral relationships among the states to look for just solutions to problems. Too many people are suffering in the world today. Too many innocent people are being killed. And I think someone has to stand up and say, there's a better way to do this.
So. Thank you very much.
Mary McKeown, as Cal says, it's not really a good idea to pick a fight with the Pope. And there has been a very, very strong reaction from conservatives and Catholics across America, hasn't there?
Yeah, and you know, Danny, not just conservatives and Catholics, the Iranian president has stepped up to excoriate Trump for criticizing the Pope and has said, on behalf of the great nation of Iran, I condemn the insult to your excellency. So you have this Alice in Wonderland, topsy-turvy world where Trump, 55% of American Catholics who voted for Trump in the 2024 election. So he has a big Catholic constituency. So he is dissing the Pope and the leader of these Catholics. And meanwhile, you have the Iranian president, like the great enemy, who is defending the Pope against Trump. None of this is making sense. But I think Trump is making a big mistake here, because there are about 70 million Catholics in America in total. And this is the first American Pope. This is the first time it's one of their own. It's this guy from Chicago, a very, very brilliant guy, but who's also quite humble and self-effacing, although very direct in his approach, and is very clearly determined to follow in the footsteps of Pope Francis and concerning himself with issues to do with social justice, immigration, war, and so forth. And I think Trump, you know, Tom Tillis, who is the North Carolina senator who's leaving and has suddenly found a spine, spoke earlier, and he just said, look, you know, when politicians cross swords with the Pope, it's never a good outcome for the politicians. And it really isn't. And the whole thing about that picture and, you know, Trump, oh, I'm meant to be a doctor. It's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing for America, and it should be embarrassing for Trump, but his superpower is that he doesn't seem to feel shame on any occasion, no matter how appropriate that might be.
Now, there is a clip of Donald Trump holding two bags of fresh McDonald's fast food delivered to him at the White House. This is what he had to say.
It wasn't depiction. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor, and had to do with Red Cross as a Red Cross worker there, which we support. And only the fake news could come up with that one. So I just heard about it, and I said, how did they come up with that? It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better, and I do make people better. I make people a lot better. As an example, The 11,000, I understand your husband's going through treatment.
Yes, sir.
He's going through some very serious cancer treatment, so
yes, sir.
This goes a long way.
Yes, sir, it sure does. Yeah.
Cal Thomas, I mean, all of this would be unbelievable if it wasn't so serious. Like, it would be funny if it wasn't so serious. What's Trump at here? I mean, a lot of people on this side of the Atlantic are wondering, like, is this a deliberate strategy? Is this him just going off the rails a bit? Or is this part of a wider kind of play? I don't know. But to find himself at odds with a pontiff, an American pontiff, as Marianne says, and then to this picture, which just seems to have just gotten up the noses of an awful lot of people, it just seems really weird behavior.
Yes, it is, Danny. But here's the thing. Once again, Trump has stepped on something that he was trying to promote. Tomorrow's our tax day, April 15th, when all the federal taxes are supposed to be in. So he set up this little deal with this DoorDash lady who was caring for her husband to deliver some McDonald's food to the White House so he could brag on his no tax on tips. And she was saying that not paying tax on tips has helped her care for her husband who has cancer. And all of that was fine. And that would have been a nice optic moment, like when he ran for president, that he was at a McDonald's and was doing a drive through and then was driving in the garbage truck. All those kinds of things are good. But he stepped on it by getting off the top of his head onto this other subject. Now, I would just point out that Democrat Catholics have ignored what the Pope has said on various things. Previous popes, Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, famously disregarding and say they disagreed with the Pope when he spoke about abortion and traditional marriage. So this is not something reserved to Donald Trump, but he certainly has malpracticed it worse than the others. Mm.
Marion, is there any criticism of the Pope? Because, I mean, unlike other pontiffs, he was very direct in his language. He made overt references to the Trump administration in his commentary, and that's not what we normally would hear from a pontiff.
Yeah, I think that is a point. But I think that the reason he did it was in response to Pete Hegseth in particular invoking Christ and invoking religion and portraying this as a Christian crusade type war. And he was basically, and I think correctly in this instance, saying, whoa, 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 not in our name. God does not, you know, recognize the prayers of those whose hands are covered in blood. And I think he quoted Old Testament. And of course, I'm paraphrasing there because I'm not really very well up on the Old Testament. But that was what he was saying. It was not until Hegseth and Trump started invoking this as a holy war that he felt obliged, and I think appropriately as the leader of the Catholic Church, to weigh in. But I absolutely agree what Cal said. Trump did something that was quite decent there with these tax cuts, you know, on tips, etc. Because all of his tax cuts were overwhelmingly for wealthy people. This was something that was going to help low-earning Americans. And then he just stepped on the whole thing. But I was also quite concerned that this woman brought her DoorDash deal the whole way from Arkansas. I'd say that Big Mac was in some shape.
Well, they tend to be preserved quite well, Marion, I think.
Well, probably, yeah. You just wonder who is running the White House and why is the messaging so chaotic and so undisciplined.
Cal Thomas, in terms of the MAGA base and Trump's kind of very base of ultra loyal supporters, I mean, are they sticking with him? Is it fraying, or how would you describe his position now as we head into, I suppose, you know, we're heading towards midterms, etc.
Right, in November. They've made kind of a, I hate to say, bargain with the devil, but they seem to excuse virtually everything Trump does because of what I would call the alternative. They don't like the Democrat Party that has still embraced some of these social issues, men and women sports, transgenderism, and some of these other things. So they may say, okay, he's bad at some of this stuff, but the other guys are even worse. I don't know how much longer that's going to continue. There's always the stay-at-home factor in elections. Mm. There are some people who would not vote for the Democrats under any condition, but they may dislike Trump so much and some of the things he's saying, especially as Marion just pointed out, that large Catholic vote, 50-some percent that went to Trump last time, who would just say, you know, a plague on both your houses, I'm not going to vote for either one of you. And that means that the Democrats would be more likely to win because they would be more motivated.
Marion, talk to me about J.D. Vance. I mean, he's had an interesting week or two, going to Hungary, etc. like that. But where has he been on this Catholic controversy or the controversy with the Pope?
oh, you know, whichever side is most beneficial to him. I think Cal might agree as well. I don't think there's been a politician in the history of Washington. God knows they can all adjust themselves to unthinkable postures. That is as malleable, as morally malleable as J.D. Vance. So he basically was, you know, has just written his book. He was about to go off on his likability tour. His new book is all about his conversion to Catholicism. It's called Communion, and it's supposed to be launched in June along with his fourth child, which is also due in June. And so here you have the new father with his new book. And this was the big, you know, try and improve his image, because really there are very, very, very few people who like J.D. Vance, even within the Republican Party. But now this has been sort of blighted by Trump's spat with the Pope and by sending him off to Islamabad to try and really setting him up for failure with peace talks. Nothing was ever going to be resolved in 21 hours. It's ludicrous to think so. But anyway, he came back and he decided to wade into the middle of this, the Trump versus the Pope, by sort of saying that the Pope should stick to matters of morality. Well, I think it's certainly arguable that war is a matter of morality, and death and wars of choice are a matter of morality. So he didn't really do himself any favors with the Catholics, who he is really assiduously courting with his conversion and the evangelical base. And he probably didn't do himself many favors with Trump either, who really doesn't have a whole lot of time for him. No. Probably why he sent him to Islamabad.
And Vance was speaking on Fox News, and we have a clip of what he had to say on both controversies.
Well, first of all, Brett, I think the president was posting a joke, and of course he took it down because he recognized that a lot of people weren't understanding his humor in that case. I think the president of the United States likes to mix it up on social media, and I actually think that's one of the good things about this president, is that he's not filtered. He doesn't send everything through a communications professional. He actually reaches out directly to the people. You know, when it comes to the disagreements with the Vatican, look, we're going to have disagreements, Brett, from time to time. I think it's a good thing, actually, that the Pope is advocating for the things that he cares about. But we're always going to have disagreements on matters of public policy, or I should say, sometimes we're going to have disagreements on matters of public policy. But I certainly think that in some cases, it would be best for the Vatican to stick to matters of morality, to stick to matters of what's going on in the Catholic Church, and let the President of the United States stick to dictating American public policy. But when they're in conflict, they're in conflict. I don't worry about it too much, Brett. I think it's a natural thing. I'm sure it'll happen in the future, and it's not that big of a deal that it happened in the past.
Not that big of a deal. I don't remember any U.S. president being at odds with the Pope. And there's one quote from Donald Trump, said, if it doesn't happen, this is about the talks in Islamabad. If it doesn't happen, I'm blaming J.D. Vance. If it does happen, I'm taking full credit. That kind of epitomizes Donald Trump's attitude, Cal, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think probably he sent him there to say, so when it does fall apart, as it inevitably will, because the Iranians have never lived up to any promise that they have made, and there's no expectation that they will this time, then the president can say, look, I did everything, I walked the last mile, I've committed everything, and they wouldn't do it. I would like to see the Pope and other popes, too, speak out more about the evil that is in the world, which is not the United States. These crazy in Iran and through their proxies have killed thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. I'd like to hear more from the Pope on that. And by the way, these popes are not always right about everything. Mm-hmm. I did a little historical research. Pope Pius VI, at the time of the American Revolution in the 18th century, Brian Kreitzer writes this in The American Revolution, represented a looming crisis to the Pope, for his success was understood as a degradation of freedom, not an achievement. Well, we're about to approach 250 years of our existence, and I'd say that was a pretty good achievement. Mm. Another one, Pope Pius XII failed to speak out against the Holocaust. Recently opened Vatican archives suggest he knew of the mass murder of Jews by the Nazi regime by 1942, but feared public protests would worsen persecution and endanger Catholics. So while sometimes the Pope claims to be
infallible,
thanks, that was a big word I was looking for. He's not infallible when he speaks about foreign and domestic policy issues.
Whatever about whether J.D. Vance can call it a distraction, a soap opera, or whatever like that, I mean, the real serious news, the really serious news is the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, Marion. I mean, without any clear off-road for Donald Trump, I mean, this has the potential to be, I mean, there's been some talk of a global recession because of all of this.
Yeah, the IMF today came out and expressed pretty extreme concerns about this. And Keir Starmer and Anne Macron are meeting. Apparently, they're organising a summit to discuss this. Yeah, it's pretty serious. And also, there are conflicting reports. The US Central Command said today that no ships had passed. The BBC is reporting that, yes, indeed, ships have passed through the strait. That they say about seven, I think. And the China's senior diplomats are now saying that this is ridiculous and it's dangerous. And it does beg the question of what happens if a Chinese ship says, I'm not stopping, and an American ship tries to stop it, and there's some kind of a set to. It's really fraught with danger, this whole tactic. And there are some very well-respected US diplomats. Richard Haass, who I really have a lot of time for.
He would be known here for his work in Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland. But like really one of the most experienced Middle Eastern diplomats as well. And he has been calling for this to be done and says it's a good idea, notwithstanding the risks that are inherent. Like, for example, if the Chinese say, try and stop us, and there's some kind of a face-off, that doesn't end well. So I don't know, but I would dispute what Cal said about not being able to trust the Iranians. I think I am no fan of the Iranian regime, and they terrorise their people at home and they sponsor terror abroad. But in the context of these nuclear talks, the Iranians had agreed in 2015 to the nuclear pact. They were obeying it, they were adhering to it, and the international inspectors had certified as such. Trump then went and broke America's deal, pulled out of it, just because it was a significant Barack Obama foreign policy success. He was in talks with the Iranians last June when he bombed them, along with Israel. He was in talks with them again earlier this year when he bombed them. And there does seem to be a situation where if you're Iranians and if you're Iranian diplomats, you cannot trust the United States, because they pull out of deals that you are complying with, and then they say they're talking to you, and then they start bombing you. So Iran's skepticism in this case, and as I said, I'm no fan of Iran, but I think it is justified in this case.
Carl Thomas,
it seems that you cannot trust Americans.
Carl Thomas, 30 seconds, you have the last word.
Well, I was going to say Northern Ireland was brought up, so hail to Rory McIlroy. We love him over here and congratulate him on a second in a row Masters win. I would have to look this up, but as I recall, the IAEA inspectors were thrown out of Iran, and as they were in North Korea. You can't trust these people. You know, they believe that their religion commands them to lie to infidels like us when it advances their cause. Mm. So I wouldn't trust them for anything.
Very good. Cal Thomas, Mary McKeown, thank you very much for joining us. A couple of comments from our listeners. Right, impersonating Jesus, blasphemous, impersonating a doctor, delusional, says one listener. And a few years ago, as I said, the Beatles were hammered in America for saying they were bigger than Jesus. He's AI'd himself and Jesus has nothing. America has gone to the dogs.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.